Congressman Peter Welch, a Democrat of Vermont at large, meaning he's the only one in all of Vermont. Peter, I know I keep harping on it, but it seems so interesting that there's one congressman and two senators. But anyway, enough of that. Let's go on to something that's really important, the president's finger on the button. Now, who would have thought that both houses of Congress would now be thinking about putting some limitations on the fact that one president, especially a mercurial president, especially somebody who some people think is mentally ill, is the only guy who can do that. There is nothing between him and pressing the button.
Well, that's very alarming. And the president has brought that scrutiny on himself with his intemperate use of Twitter and his provocative language and actions. And he's really created a cult around this idea that he'll keep everybody destabilized by making certain that nobody knows what he's going to do. And the fact is, he does act impulsively. We've seen it oftentimes on everything from his simple but urgent matters like DACA, where he says to Schumer and Pelosi, we'll work that out, to then the next day pulling the rug out from under the agreement he just made, to his threats about North Korea. So there are members, and I'm among them, who are extremely concerned about his unilateral ability to push the button. And I favor having some restrictions on that, so there's a real process that has to be gone through, particularly in a first strike. And in fact, I support total prohibition on a first strike, absent of us being under attack, because that's an act of war, which would require, in my view, my very strong view, an act of Congress.
That's what it says in the Constitution.
That's right. Right. And a lot of us are extremely concerned about the president's pleasure in creating instability and anxiety as opposed to stability and security.
Now, some of your colleagues have put in articles of impeachment for the president. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, that's just a bunch of nonsense, political posturing and the rest. It's something I'm sort of sympathetic towards. But what is the purpose in doing something like that if right now it has no chance of people taking it up?
Well, it reflects the concerns of those members and their belief that that approach, that process, should be implemented. I mean, let me just say this, that we've got a lot of questions about the president, and some of them go to the heart of him meeting his constitutional obligations. The investigation by Mr. Mueller is underway, and their indictments have been processed, and more is to come. And frankly, I think it makes sense for all of us to wait for the outcome of that investigation. And I say that as somebody who supports Mueller, who believes in his integrity, and who knows that he enjoys that reputation universally. So we've got to have the facts first before we rush to any conclusion. But we should keep the foot on the gas pedal with respect to supporting Mueller in his investigation.
Now, there are some people who say, ah, come on, we know what that says, Peter Welch. You Democrats, you're out there, you're waiting for the 2018 election. You want to keep your powder dry till then. And that's why you're saying, let's wait a little while.
Well, you know, let's get real here. I'm saying this to Democrats. We lost the election. I mean, the American people in our system, even though Trump got almost 3 million fewer votes than Hillary, we lost. And in fact, we lost in places where we should have won had we been true to our democratic ideals of standing up for working people. I mean, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, that's on us. And we can't end run our own obligation to come up with an agenda, do our work, and win the support of the American people by throwing out impeachment as an answer to the problems that are really hard for folks who are earning too little and paying too much.
You are interested in prescription drug pricing, as am I. There are those people who think that drug companies are getting away with murder. And you put some legislation in on price negotiation, and you've been interested in Allergan. What is that about?
Well, it really is about how what Allergan did here. They've got a drug that's very popular and has made them billions of dollars. And their ability to make all that money is based on their patent. They want to extend the patent beyond the life of the patent. And what they're doing is paying the Mohawk tribe to receive their patents, and then they, Allergan, believes that they'll have better defenses against generic competition. So my beef here is with Allergan. It's not with the Mohawk tribe. I mean, if somebody called you up, Alan, and said, I'll give you $12 million if you take over my patents, you might say yes. And that is not the problem. The problem is the incredible cynicism of this very profitable drug company that had the benefit of legal monopoly protection for a period of time, saying we want to extend that beyond what we were entitled to, and we'll do whatever, this unbelievable maneuver where you turn over your valuable intellectual property and pay somebody to take it because you believe through your lawyers that that'll give you some defenses against generic competition. So that's just a punitive tax on consumers, taxpayers, and employers who are struggling to keep up health care benefits for their employees.
Okay, the last thing I want to ask you has to do with Vermont. You've got your finger on the pulse there, I know that. Do Vermonters support this new tax system?
No. I had a roundtable with a lot of Vermonters, including people in business, people in real estate, people doing downtown development work. It was very interesting to me. The conversation with them was very concrete, and what they defined as the challenges that they faced our businesses was largely about getting good employees. They have jobs where they can't find employees to fill them. They have people out there looking for jobs that don't have the skills they need. So they were very concrete talking about what they need in order to maintain their business and to expand their business. And this so-called tax cut is not what they needed. And in fact, it really doesn't help them because it's really designed for the multinational companies that are able to outsource or offshore so much of their profit. So I was surprised because there's a lot of folks who were in my roundtable, it wasn't a stacked deal, who are just living day in and day out trying to solve practical problems, revitalize downtown, expand their small business. And I'll give an example. The Putnam Block in the heart of Bennington, that depends on a reform that was made in the 86 tax code for private activity bonds and new market tax credits. That project would be dead in its tracks if this new bill goes through. So it's hollowing out the downtowns and taking away a tool that is essential to folks in Bennington who are incredibly hardworking and committed to revitalizing that town.
Well, Peter Welch, I can't tell you how grateful we are that you come and talk to us about this stuff because, you know, you're amazing. So Congressman Peter Welch is a Democrat of Vermont at large. And Peter, good luck to you and all you're doing. I know this is not an easy job.
It's a great job. I love representing Vermont. Thanks, Alan.